Wikipedia.org is a massive site with over 5,275,000 articles in English alone.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Many people can tell you the accuracy of this knowledge, but Ben Graw...
This is the Ben voice.
And Garth Remington...
This is the Garth voice.
...are not even smart enough to determine what is true and what is not.
Yeah, they're kind of dumb.
If knowledge starts conversation, then they will review Wikipedia pages for their entertainment value and find which pages are boring...
That's boring. Leave me alone. Such a loser.
...and which are interesting.
That's so interesting.
Wanna have sex?
They're doing one page at a time, and they're not stopping till they've done every single one.
They're going to do all of them?
This is the Wiki Review.
This is the effect of modern medicine and things like Mormonism. Front or back?
Front.
Okay, so you're a bottom.
Down, mate, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to Wiki Review. I'm Ben Graw.
I'm Garth Remington.
And we are back again. And this week we are doing the Wikipedia page for bicycle.
Bring, bring.
I knew you were going to do that. There was part of me halfway through doing that just going, he's going to do a bicycle bell at the end of this.
Well, what other sound does a bike make, really?
You got that thing if you put a card on the spokes of the wheels and it makes that click, 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 click sound.
But the only distinctive sound a bike makes is the bell. And do you get bicycle bells on things that aren't bicycles? Doorbell that sounds like a bicycle bell?
Not unless it's a novelty one.
You know when you go into a store and you have to push the bell for service? That's a different bell to your bike bell.
Yeah, it's more a ding.
Not a bring. It's a ding, not a bring.
Doorbells are usually like that ding dong.
Who decided these things? Someone in the bell industry.
Then you got clocks.
Clocks with their different chimes.
Yeah, they usually have like a little song or something they do.
That's the only sound I can think of for a bike other than like a skid or something. Which... What was that? A door that needs oiling? No, we're doing bicycles. It's quite a big topic, bicycles. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of bikes in the world, I found out.
Well, it's got to be the oldest vehicle.
It would be, wouldn't it? Straight away, the first thing I want to bring up that I love about this page that I think is the reason we should be doing this. The first picture you see is a bicycle. It says, the most popular bicycle model and most popular vehicle of any kind in the world. That means, of all the vehicles, this one has been 500 million made.
Is this it? The flying pigeon?
And that's why I love it. They decided to name it the flying pigeon. Would you buy a flying pigeon?
It looks cool.
It's the Chinese bike. I'm assuming it has something to do with communism when they all had to have the same bike or something.
It doesn't look like the bikes I had as a kid. I'd get more a BMX thing that I could skid.
Not a lot of stunt pegs in China. No one doing bunny hops, man. It's more a practical application kind of bike.
I know I could do a wheelie really good on a bike. I think I can still do that. I mean, sure, it's been 15 years since I last tried, but I'm sure I could do that.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. He shoots, he scores.
That joke had to appear in here somewhere.
It was bound to happen. Of course it was going to be me to say it. I can't get over that name. Imagine you've been asked to produce, create, design a bike that's going to be the most popular vehicle, more than any other vehicle. What are you going to call it? I don't think the word pigeon should ever show up.
What animal do you think gets around the city the best?
Well, a rat. A pigeon would get around easier. Yeah, you're right.
A flying pigeon gets around the city pretty well.
You know, now that you mention it, I think they've thought this through.
And nobody wants to buy a bike called the sewer rat.
The sewer rat.
That's a worse name than the flying pigeon. That was probably the second choice. It's either sewer rat or flying pigeon. Yeah, we'll go with the pigeon one. Because if it's a city bike, that kind of makes sense.
And it is a city bike looking at it. That's not an off-road bike. It's not a BMX. You're not doing stunts. That's just for getting around. It's got a little basket and a little back thing so you can carry things on it.
All right, let's split our audience right here. How do you feel about when you're driving in your car and there are people on bikes on the side of the road?
I knew this was going to come up. Because there's what I believe, but then there's also what we should say out loud. Fuck it. I don't care. I don't like cyclists. I hate cyclists with a passion. It's like racism, but I'm not racist. I hate people on bikes. And I want to be very clear, I don't hate all bicycle. If you call your bike a pushy, you're probably cool by me. I'm talking about the spandex people. If you wear spandex and ride around on the road and think it's okay to hold everyone in a car up, I hate you. And if you have a problem with that, let me know. And my problem is that because you're on the road, like, you can take the impact of a car. What do you think, you're a superhero wearing spandex? I guess my problem is they're not wearing a cape.
Yeah, I don't want to go to prison for manslaughter because some cyclist was an idiot and cut in front of me.
Why is that my fault?
Because that's one of my fears of being in an accident and the person in the other vehicle is dead. And I'm the only sole survivor of this accident, talking to the police and explaining to them, hey, it's not my fault. It's the dead guy's fault.
As a general rule in life, I usually blame the dead guy. Whenever you get the option, blame the guy that's not there. I've killed a cyclist. Like, it was an accident. I didn't see him riding along the footpath. I swerved and hit him.
It was like this pause there where I was kind of like, wait, is that a real confession coming out here? Or? Because I'd never heard that about you. Yeah, I killed a guy once.
No, I did actually hit a cyclist once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Wasn't my fault. It wasn't as bad as it sounds. It wasn't a spandex guy, so I was legitimately sorry. If it was a spandex guy, I probably would have just kept driving. I was
would have backed over him to make sure.
Just in reverse. Now, I was stopped at a stoplight. It was a two-lane road, two lanes going the same way. And I was in the left lane, and in the right lane was a bus. So I couldn't see past the bus on the pedestrian crossing, and the person couldn't see me on the other side of the bus. The light turned green, I took off, and this guy on a bike was suddenly in front of me. Hit him, he hit the ground. Didn't sound very good. Yeah, and then I got out, and he was fine. I think he thought I was going to beat him up, because he had that stunned look in his face. Oh God, he's come to finish me off. He got out of the car, I'm in trouble. This is the sixth time today. Look what you did to my car, you prick. So I did feel bad about that. This guy in his 50s. If you're in your 50s and you're riding a bike around getting hit by cars, life didn't turn out as you expected. I feel bad for that guy.
What was going through your head when you hit the guy, but you still sitting in your car, just about to get out, thinking like, oh shit, is he dead?
Okay, you're gonna learn a little about me. When I hit him, the first reaction was, oh, you prick. I had right away, you deserve that. And then I realized, well, look, accidents happen. It's okay. As soon as I realized I can't be in trouble for this, then I was sympathetic. I'm a horrible person, aren't I?
Just went from defensive to sympathetic.
Hey, how dare you? I'm not... Oh, it's not my fault. Are you all right, mate? I remember too, I went really sympathetic, but he was in front of the bus and in front of my car, so the bus couldn't move and I couldn't move. So two lanes were stopped by this guy hit by the car. I got out to him, and as soon as I realized it wasn't my fault, I go, are you all right, mate? And then people started beeping their horns, and he's sort of looking. I'm like, don't worry about them, mate. They can wait. You all right? Do you need help? Meanwhile, if it was my fault, I would have probably kept going.
You would have just sat there and they're honking your horn too. Get off the road!
Bloody cyclist. And yet he wasn't even on the road. That's probably the main thing. He was a pedestrian. He went over the pedestrian crossing. It was just a little late. So yeah, I've run over a guy.
Was he riding a flying pigeon?
No. Maybe that was the problem.
You might not have hit him then.
He would have gone through that intersection 20 minutes before I even got there because he was efficient on the flying pigeon.
The one thing I do notice about the flying pigeon is it has a basket at the front. Have you ever had a bike that had a basket at the front?
Well, no, I'm a boy. But in China, that's a little different.
I guess if you're using your bike for functionality, maybe. And the basket has a butterfly, that's even worse.
Shouldn't it have a pigeon? Maybe the flying pigeon's the bike, but the basket's called the holding butterfly. Because in China, there's a lot of people and there's not a lot of space on the road. Their cities are really cramped. We have a lot of space. It's not really convenient to get around on a bike. Like, if you had to ride a bike into the city, what did that take you, like a week?
Have you seen the bikes that they have set up in Brisbane City?
The Lipton iced tea things. Yes, I have seen those.
Does anyone use them? Because you've got to bring your own helmet, which I think is a big downside to it. When are you walking around Brisbane going, you know what, I just so happen to have my helmet on me?
I think it's supposed to be for tourists. I'm sure I've seen... I know I've walked past the Brisbane bike rack thing. I've seen helmets in the bikes. And I thought that was the same color. Like, maybe they come with a bike. But then you'd have to carry it around because you can't leave it there. Because the idea is anyone can take them if they have the card or whatever. I think it's just a huge waste of money, really.
Because I think they looked at how it worked in Amsterdam and stuff like that and seen how insane they are with bikes and go, Brisbane can be that. No, we can't.
I've been to Amsterdam when I was really little and there are bikes everywhere. It's not like official like Brisbane does it. There's just bikes everywhere.
I went there and near their central station, they've got this huge six-story car park. It's filled with bikes. And all around this car park is bikes. The streets are just lined with bikes. They're just everywhere.
I can't back this up, but I'm pretty sure the concept is just take one.
Seems like it. They say if a bike gets stolen in Amsterdam, police don't care. There's no way they're finding it. There's too many bikes.
So just take a bike. If your bike's gone, that's okay. Just get another one. There's one right next to it. And I think that's the plan. That's how you should fix transportation. Just litter the town with so many bikes that it doesn't matter.
There's so many bikes everywhere. everywhere. Just take one.
When you stop, leave it there. Someone will eventually use it.
That could work. Just, yeah, instead of having the zones, you just like, just leave it.
Just here? Yeah, just there. Actually, I'm going to take a train when I get off. Yeah, and when you get off, just pick up a bike there.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Yeah, I'll bring on the train. It takes up too much space. A couple of people left bikes at the station. It's fine.
I left my bike at the bottom of the hill, took an elevator up, and then took another bike there because I'm not riding a bike up a hill.
You ride to a train station and someone's getting off the train station and just comes up to your bike and go, hey, thanks, man. Just grabs it and they ride off with it. You get on the train, you get another one when you get there.
Not a word spoken. You're just walking up to it and they're just like, I'll take that.
It's like tubes at a water park.
Yes, that's the perfect example.
Yeah, bikes need to be like tubes at a water park. Just throw a heap around and let people sort it out themselves.
Eventually they'll be spaced out properly.
But yeah, I think the helmet lore is what screws it over, because you don't want to share helmets with people. Nits and head lice. Because I reckon the ones that are with the bikes are ones that people have bought at the end of the day gone, I don't want a bloody helmet. So they've just left it with the bike. Next person can just have it for free.
Then it becomes the leper bike. Well, don't touch that one. It's got a helmet in it.
If I have a hat that I wear and somebody wants it, I'm fine with that if I don't want it anymore. Because I know my hair's clean and that's fine. But if somebody gives me a hat that they've been wearing, I don't care how clean they are. I don't really want it.
Your health is your business. My health is my business.
Yeah. If you want to wear my dirty anything, that's fine. But I'm wearing your dirty nothing.
Tell me where you bought it.
Because I guess the thing is when it comes to hygiene, well, I know I'm clean. Even with blood contamination, I know I've got nothing. Worst case scenario is someone contacts my blood. I know they're fine. But I understand why people don't want to. It's just a good blanket rule to have.
Try not to swap fluids with people that you don't know.
So what have we got here? Apart from that picture at the flying pigeon.
Which classic name.
Bicycle, often called a bike or cycle. You could just use any part of the word. You can abbreviate the front or the end.
I'm riding this bi. I'm really into bis at the moment. I'm going bi.
So it is a human pedal-driven single-track vehicle having two wheels attached to a frame.
Well, we all know what a bike is, and that's
a bike.
Called a cyclist or a bicyclist. Shouldn't a cyclist be someone who rides a unicycle? Or it should encompass everyone who rides anything that cycles. Bicycle means two wheels, but then it would be a unicyclist, a bicyclist, but they're both cyclists.
If you ride a unicycle or a bicycle, you're still a cyclist. I think it's just any sort of cycle. Like, you could be a tricyclist, and they're still a cyclist. Because even, like, motorbikes, they can sometimes be called cyclists. Yeah. So it's just any sort of cycle, but someone who rides a unicycle would also be a unicyclist.
And if you're bisexual and you're on a unicycle, you are a bicyclist.
So I think a cycle is anything you sit on with wheels. But I think to be a cycle, I think it can only have three wheels. Like, it gets between one to three wheels. Because once it's four wheels,
it's a quad.
It's a quad. It's not a quadcycle.
Quadcyclist. Unicyclist, bicyclist, tricyclist, quadcycle.
Because you wouldn't call a car a cycle of any sort.
And even if it was a four wheel that you had to pedal, you still wouldn't call it bike, would you?
But you can have a tricycle.
You can.
A bicycle.
And it's kind of a bicycle. And you don't go more than four because that's a waste of wheels.
A cycle is a vehicle that you ride in that has anywhere between one to three wheels.
There you go. They didn't say that, but we've decided.
No, that's my fact that I'm adding.
All right, so they started in the 19th century, the 1800s.
Yeah, I know when the 19th century was.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to the listeners.
People are like, oh, that's when that was. Really? 1800s?
Truth was, I was figuring it out loud to myself. Okay, 19th century, that means 1800. Now I sound smart.
They say as of 2003, a billion have been produced worldwide. And it's been a while since 2003.
And that's twice as many as automobiles. So anything with an engine, only 500 million engine vehicles have been made.
I think when you're counting how much you've produced of something, after you hit a billion, point proven.
Yeah.
Like, stop counting. You go, yeah, in 2003, we hit a billion. Like, how much do you do now? Who cares? We hit a billion.
Like McDonald's with Big Macs. Over a billion. Yeah, you can stop now.
Yeah, just stop counting. We get the point.
I think it's a hit.
Billion of anything, you're just kind of like, yeah, I get it. You don't have to count anymore.
If you hear a lot of people have done something, that's generally a good indicator it might be good to do. But someone said, look, a million people have done this. You go, that's pretty cool. Once you get over a billion, you go, well, I don't really want to go with the crowd. This seems a bit generic.
So wait a minute, it took 200 years for a billion bicycles to be produced.
It would have started a bit slow.
I assume that, but I thought more would have been done then. I thought there'd be like single companies that say we've made a billion bicycles. That's a lot of bicycles to sell for a company.
That is a lot of bicycles. That's a lot. And 500 million cars. Because yeah, you sort of go, well, how many cars are there in the world? A lot of people don't have cars, but you still assume everyone has a car. So you go, well, there must be like 6 billion cars.
And then you think of people who have two.
Exactly. That should make up for all the people who don't. But no, 500 million. All right. It's an exclusive club. And that's through all time. Like there's, what, 6-8 billion people now? I don't even know how many people there are on the planet.
I think there's like 7 billion.
I have a 2 billion window.
How many people in the world?
Seven billion.
There you go.
You know. All right,
what, so exactly?
When was this study conducted?
How do you count that, actually.
Well, that's a definite estimate, because there are places in the world where people just aren't on record.
There are people here who aren't on record.
And you'll find that there are more people in places where people aren't on record. They tend to breed more.
See, I wonder if they got that statistic of how many people... How do you even search that? How many people aren't on record? Yeah, that would definitely be an estimate.
Because if you said it, then it would be on record.
Here we go. This world population.
Oh, someone's just figured out how... Because there's deaths versus births, and therefore you can figure out how the population changes. Oh, wow, it's moving.
Yeah, we're nearly at 7,482,225,520. Well, it keeps going up from there. Now up to 30.
I like that it's doing the crazy thing, because it goes up with the births and down with the deaths, so it's kind of doing this schizo number thing, but it's moving up really quickly. There are a lot of women screaming right now.
There are more births than deaths.
By a lot. It's midday, and we've got 200,000 births and 83,000 deaths.
Insane.
That's a lot. Like, imagine being the 12 in the morning person.
Population growth today.
Man, there's a lot of...
117,000 people have gone up today that didn't exist yesterday.
That's crazy. We're just about to hit 118,000. That's really crazy. People are screwing a lot.
This has got to be an estimate, though.
There's absolutely. This isn't, like, it's not like someone's there clicking a button every time someone's born. Well, this is a calculation base.
That's at the two buttons, one for the deaths, one for the births.
There's just two people sitting in a room just pressing enter over and over again.
Click, 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 click. Though the births are going up a lot faster than the deaths.
Oh, that's the whole point. That's how we got to 7.5 billion.
Yeah, there's a part of me that just watching it go up, just going like, just stop, we're going to run out of space.
This is the effect of modern medicine and things like Mormonism. That's why you have way too many kids and not enough deaths.
Do you think anyone who listens to our podcast will die today?
That's dark.
Well, I'm looking at the deaths counter going up.
It could be you.
They're not going to be born today. Wait, do we have a listener born today? There's more being born today.
So technically, statistically speaking, we have a better chance of someone who's born today listening than someone who dies today listening. Also, because the person born would probably have more of a chance to listen to it because they're around longer. If you die today, you've got until you die to get that done.
Well, that should work, that we should get more listeners than we should lose.
That's true. We need our listeners to breed. I don't think we're going to find people who already exist. We're going to have to make new ones.
And when they're born in the delivery room, make sure Wiki Review is playing so they hear that as their
first words.
Wikipedia.org is a massive site. That will replace, you know, they used to smack babies on the bum to make them cry. They'll just play that to them now.
If you're planning to have a child soon, plan. If you're about to give birth, if you're due soon, just, you know, have the podcast around. If you have the youngest listener, let us know.
And if you're going to die today, play us at your funeral.
Yeah, play it.
This is the last thing he heard.
Do you think we were responsible?
Hopefully not.
Yeah. I don't think there's much doubt that we would be. I'm just saying there's definitely a chance a policeman will rock up at your door to ask questions.
See, I think that'd be interesting if it was live, like a natural disaster happens.
And then you see it.
Tidal wave comes and the number just rolls up really quickly.
Suddenly jumps up 10,000.
Oh, did the births just look like it went quicker for a second? I know, I don't know if it's consistent.
It'd be done on an algorithm of like so many per second, blah, blah, blah. But it'd be also, as more people are born, there are more people and therefore more people will give birth. Like, it's exponentially increasing.
Yeah, I can't look at that in the background. It's messing with me. It's called the world population clock, if anyone wants to look at it.
So plenty of places in the world use bicycles as like their number one form of transportation. All right, so human power. There's different kinds of reasons people use bikes. Yeah, getting around. Kids have them for fun. We don't use them for getting around, but I got Ali a bike recently. I had to put it together. First time in like 15 years I've put a bike together. And you know, like when you see it and you're like, oh, I remember putting bikes together as a kid. Surely I can still do it. You keep that skill. I was very surprised at how I managed to do it. I walked away like, yeah.
What was the most tedious part with it? Say the chain.
The tedious part was it's a girl's bike. It has all these extra bits. It has the basket and you got to line everything up. The hardest part was making it look pretty, all lined up, because when you're a guy, yeah, you're gonna break it in half an hour anyway, so it doesn't really matter if she's got mud guards and pretty things and not scratching it. That was the hardest part, getting everything to fit together.
I just saw something that we should have spotted right at the start of this.
Yeah? Oh, they've got the audio of a classic bicycle bell, but I think I already did a really good impression.
There it is.
Ring, ring.
So yeah, they have a bicycle bell there. Oh, it's still going, another ring. How long do you reckon this audio clip goes for? Oh, ooh. Now they've gone it up. Ring, 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 ring.
They've done three this time. Do you reckon there's like, he's been coached, like there's someone, he's in a sound room with the microphone.
Is this scripted or improvised?
Yeah, and there's a guy behind the glass. Three, now go nuts on it.
He's going nuts. He lost his tone for a little bit. He sounded a little out of tune for like one note. So it's like 34 seconds of some dude ringing a bell. It's just like ring, and then it's like the guy's just like, keep going, keep going. Ring, ring.
Now ad lib it. Keep, just go crazy.
Ring, 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 ring.
All right. Bring it back. You're going a little crazy now.
Ring.
Okay, you need to get into character with this. Okay, now you're on a bike. There's someone ahead of you. You want them to know. And action. Bring, bring. No, are you even listening to my direction?
See, I wonder with that, if they did it in a recording studio, they probably wouldn't have bothered bringing in a whole bike. They would have just brought in the bell.
So then a classic bell of a bicycle. So yeah, you could have done that, I suppose.
Yeah, because some dude would just like wheel in like a whole bike and someone's like, you idiot, just bring the bell in.
I didn't have a screwdriver.
Did you ever see those ones where it has like that horn that you squeeze where it's like, honk? They're sort of like on those old timey cars too.
Yes. That kind of thing. I do like that.
Don't see them around much these days.
No. I wonder why that, like, the bell definitely took over. I guess because it's more compact and it probably wouldn't break as easily, because you're with a horn, you've got the squishy bit and that'd probably break over time, especially if you leave it out in the sun.
Here, I'm just looking at this. It can be used for a children's toy, general fitness, but military and police applications.
Now, I can actually tell you about this. All right, first off, I'm going to tell you about the military. In World War II, the Japanese army invaded Singapore using bicycles. And they proved that it was actually a really smart thing to do, because they all have to carry big heavy packs, go up and down through mangrove kind of stuff. Stuff that you can't get a truck through, but you can get a bicycle through. And they didn't ride the bikes. They put their bags on the bikes and pushed them, because that way they're not carrying the weight. I saw an experiment they did. They got a guy to dress up in the full army outfit and just like be on a treadmill next to another guy who put all his stuff on the bike and walked around. And you can see, like, you get tired from carrying a big pack, but if you have the bicycle. And that's how Japan took over Singapore successfully.
True, but then they lost the war overall, so.
Well, they didn't have enough bikes. That was probably the problem.
Yeah. How many bikes would it take to stop an atomic bomb?
Ooh, at least 5. Right?
They would add more than 5 bikes in Hiroshima.
Yeah, it didn't stop it, did it? That's a good point.
Maybe outride it. Pedal you've never pedaled before.
Bring, bring everyone out of the way.
And the guy with the heavy backpack on a treadmill is just going, I'm not getting anywhere.
I'm not making any progress on this situation.
I should have got a bike.
Yes, yeah, so that's the military. Police applications of bicycles. Well, that's just for humor. We've all seen a cop on a bicycle with his bike shorts.
Yeah, they have like the weird Lycra thing. I'm surprised that they got that passed.
You can't take that seriously.
No.
When you arrest them and take them into the cop shop, do they have to ride on the handlebars or the back? You know, you got to hold your waist, or do you sit on the handlebars and hope you don't fall off? You're under arrest. I'm going to handcuff you and then you're going to sit on my handlebars.
I could definitely outrun a cop on a bike in my car. And
well, you don't. That's the great thing. You don't need to outrun them. You just run over them.
And on foot, I can still duck and weave through alleys and stuff.
Jump fences.
That they can't do on a bike. So it doesn't seem like riding a bike in a pursuit is ever an advantage. It's good to get away.
Yeah, they only just use it on pedestrian places, and I don't think they've ever called the bicycle police in for a pursuit. We're in hot pursuit. He's going down the alley. Quick, bring in the bicycle guys. Ring, 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 ring. Oh God, it's the fuzz. Jeez it.
Damn it, security guards get more respect than we do.
The cops on the bike. Stop there. Stop right there. It's the police. Fuck it, let's run. Security guard comes out. Oh, you guys, hang on. Oh, shit, we're in trouble.
They also have courier services, which I've seen.
Korea.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Didn't you say, I thought you said Korea. I thought you meant like Korea as in North Korea, South Korea. I'm like, what Korean services involve bicycles?
Well, I think that's Korea.
Yeah, this is Korea. Forget getting stuff around. Delivering.
Yeah, you could get a career as a courier in Korea.
Ooh. Oh, I
have that sentence apart. Yeah.
I've always wanted a career as a courier in Korea. Now I'm not sure what I want anymore. But yeah, Korean services. I've known a few people who do that. It's happening more in Australia, but in New York, that's a big thing. Because
I've seen a Domino's pizza delivery bike where they had like a push bike with some pizzas stored on the back.
Yeah, I have seen that. I don't know if I want a pizza that came on a bicycle.
Well, I think it's the inner city stores, because you move around quicker.
That's true.
So if you were like working in an office in the city and you wanted to get pizza, that's probably how you get your pizza.
That makes sense. I suppose that's fine. All right, you can
they get your approval now.
Yeah. I'd like to put out there the pizza delivery guy on the bicycle more respect than the pizza delivery guy on the scooter.
Yeah, I think scooter was sort of for the same thing, but you could probably park more places with a bike.
There actually is a whole thing now. There's a couple of companies. You know, you see the kids with the bikes that have this big esky cube on the back of them, or like backpacks that are cube shaped. Yeah, the new delivery service. It's coming up more.
But then they've also got drones are coming in. Wait, are you going to replace them?
Are you saying that pizza's going to be be delivered by drone?
There's talks of it. I know Amazon is starting with a thing where you can, in some countries, you can get things delivered to you by drone.
What do you tip a drone?
I don't think you do. That's probably why everyone likes it so much. It just delivers your stuff and flies away.
Interesting, though. They tried to do this in Pakistan. Didn't go down so well.
People kept running from the package.
Way too many RPGs. I never got my pizza delivered.
See, I reckon the drone delivery system can work on a small scale. But as soon as everyone's done it, when every pizza store does it, plus the little takeaway shop down the road does it.
When all food delivery is by drone.
Yeah, when the sky is just permanently littered with drones delivering things.
The world will sound like one big fan.
You can just throw a rock into the sky and just see what you get.
That's where it falls apart, because you get enough drones delivering pizzas, I'm getting a BB gun and free pizza.
You wouldn't want to shoot the one that's delivering a pizza to you, though.
Well, no, but if there's enough up there, you don't ever order a pizza. You just go outside and wait till one flies over and get a rock. Because how high could a drone really go? And also, because that'd be controlled by someone, wouldn't they? They'd be sitting there remote controlling it.
I don't know. I think that they might want to do the autopilot-y thing.
Oh, yeah, because I suppose they do have that for military ones, don't they? So they could do that, couldn't they?
What they probably would do is a mix of both, where for 90% of the journey, it's on autopilot.
But, like for the...
but when it comes to the actual delivery, like an alarm goes off and an actual person gets in and flies it to your door. And...
kind of like aeroplanes, you know, it's just the takeoff and the delivery that needs the pilot, really.
Yeah, and then soon as it, you grab your stuff, the person there presses the home button, it knows to fly home, and they just don't bother with it from then on.
Nice.
So, yeah, they would only need them for a little bit. But could you imagine air traffic control for that? Because you'd hate them colliding and then just having balls of flaming drone falling down.
It gets a bit dangerous. But, yeah, that's free pizza for someone. Also, because they're drones, like, they fly because they have, well, essentially fans pushing down. If your food's underneath the drone, isn't it going
to
cool?
True. They'd have to attach one of those hot boxes then.
Yeah, and keep it far enough away from the electronics so it doesn't destroy it.
There's also the privacy issue that if they all have little cameras attached to them, if there's enough drones in the sky, they might be able to follow your every single movement between all of them.
If you have access to all drone cameras,
you can watch anyone at any point.
So what you're saying is that Pizza Hut's eventually going to go into surveillance.
Yeah.
Nice.
It could either stop terrorism or screw us all over. Or both.
Either way, I'm getting a Meat Lovers.
Because that's the thing when I think about the government spying into my life. There's not really much that I wouldn't want them to know about. There's a couple of things, but not a lot.
This is the biggest argument. Privacy is one of the hardest things to argue about, because if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to hide? And the only defense I've ever found for privacy, this is the best argument I've ever heard. If you're not doing anything illegal when you're taking a shit, why can't I film it? Because I don't want someone seeing me take a shit? Thank you. Why? What are you doing? Are you doing something weird? Are you a pervert?
See, I've heard that argument, but then my argument to it is, well, then before you search me, can I search you? Anyone can search me if I'm allowed to search them.
But then that becomes a culture of shamelessness, where it's just the person who cares the least. There would be people who want people to look at them taking a shit. Like, you know, voyeuristic or whatever you call it. People are just, yeah, that's their thing. They get their jollies from people watching them take a crap. They suddenly have a big advantage in the world.
If you have a video of me taking a dump, I'm kind of nervous.
Yes, you should be.
But if you have a video of me taking a dump, but I also have a video of you taking a dump, now, stalemate, motherfucker. Like, you ain't releasing that because you're getting the same thing released about you.
It's now in both of our interests to look after the other person, because if I'm going down,
that's it.
You're coming down with me.
You'd be scared if my tape ever saw the light of daylight. You're like, no, people are going to see Ben doing this. Now they're going to see me doing it too.
Exactly. Don't let that out. I'd have to guard it. And also because you'd be adding in sound effects and all kinds of little things to make it even worse. Suddenly I have a girlish squeal.
So if anything, then I'm fine. Like, if anyone's going to own that tape, I'm glad it's you, because I own a tape of you if they were.
It's like the argument with guns. Either no one has them or everyone has them. If everyone has film of everyone else taking a dump, it'll be fine. Kind of hard to organize.
See, that's the problem in America with their gun control idea of everyone have guns to protect themselves. There are too many pussies who are not carrying guns. You should send your kid to school with a gun, because what if there's a school shooting? Oh, I didn't send my kid with a gun because I thought he'd get hurt. Your kid's got to save the day. Your kid's got to be James Bond.
Exactly right. Everyone should have a gun and they should point it at everyone else all the time. Yeah, the problem is just not enough. Either get rid of them completely or everyone gets to carry one all the time. Otherwise, you're going to have school shootings.
Yeah, because if everyone has a gun pointed at them the whole time, you shouldn't even be allowed to put it in a holster. You should have to hold it out at arm's length at all times, yeah, and point it at anyone who you're talking to.
Yes, So when right now when we're talking, we should have a gun pointed at each other. You know what? You'd listen to me then.
Yeah. And I know you're not going to shoot me because I'll shoot you.
Exactly. It's a stalemate.
But if we both had the right to carry a gun and you brought a gun to kill me with and I was like, oh, I don't want a gun, then I'm just going to get shot.
Exactly. Suddenly, you're missing out. You're losing.
If anything, it's my responsibility then to own a gun.
Because then if you get shot, that's your fault. What, you didn't have a gun? He only has himself to blame. I forgot it, okay? I was at home. I was in a rush. I had to get to work at a kindergarten.
People only bring a gun when they plan to use it. And you can't plan when you're going to protect yourself. You can plan when you're going to kill people.
It's like umbrellas. You know, you only ever bring one when it doesn't rain. But one day, wish I brought my 45. Fix this whole problem.
Actually, umbrellas are kind of like guns, where you all have access to them, but it only seems like the weird people who actually have them.
Because isn't that the weird, like, if it's raining, you see someone with an umbrella and they're like, okay, fair enough. Anytime you see someone with an umbrella and it's not raining, don't they just look like the craziest person? Yeah. It's like raincoats. Don't wear a raincoat unless it's raining, or you will end up in an asylum.
Because you have the umbrella people who are like, this is for the sun.
Yes, which there are getting a lot more of those. Like, originally it was parasols.
You can get away with those big beach umbrellas if you, like, stick it into the sand.
Then it's okay.
Then it's okay, but as soon as you're holding it, that's weird.
That's just weird. No, you don't put it up until it's in the sand, dude.
Yeah.
You have to wear a lot less clothing. Parasols, it's definitely very popular in Asian communities because they're very big on looking after their skin, especially in Australia, where as white people, we really should have thought of that. I think it's just daggy to see someone with an umbrella for the sun. Get a parasol. Get some fashion in you. I like a woman with a parasol. That's a hot item.
It's old school.
It is. That...
What about a bonnet as well?
Ooh, yeah, that's naughty. There's something very sexual about a bonnet and a parasol. I like a woman with an umbrella that doesn't protect them from the rain. Protects their skin, but they can still get into a wet t-shirt competition. How 1800s of me.
That's the thing, men, where it's like we find a woman sexy when she's trying to be all sexy, but when a woman's completely non-sexual, dressed from like head to toe with like a bonnet and a parasol, you're like, oh, that's sexy.
This is my theory. Like, as far, well, it's not a theory. This is just real life. Everything a woman does is sexy. Because as a man, you don't want a reason not to have sex. I won't give her that. Look, I'm dressed really uncomfortable. I really like the way you're dressed. I like the way you're covered up. It's the mystery. Oh, look, I'm dressed all skanky. You wouldn't be a no, I see all that skin, that's really sexy. Oh, I'm really tall. Guys don't like, I love a tall woman. I love to climb a mountain. Oh, I'm really short. I love a short woman. They're cute. Oh, I'm a bit fat. Oh, I love a bit of chunk on a woman. Curves. Oh, I'm really skinny like a rake. I love a skinny little girl. I can pick her up. There's nothing. There's nothing you could say or do that's going to stop me from wanting to have sex with you. Females.
Because, like, aren't you into girls like this? Oh, no, I'm just into girls.
Girls. I'm into women who are okay having sex with me. If you go on record, you know when guys say, oh, my type, I only go out with blondes, man. What happens the day that, like, a brunette who's really good looking wants to have sex with you? Oh, nah, sorry, love. Wrong hair color. Go dye your hair. No, if a woman wants to have sex with me, it's happening. Really? Yeah. Didn't you go on record and say you wouldn't have sex with a brunette? No, that wasn't me. I never say anything like that. That's crazy talk.
See, my logic is I may not have had sex with everyone who I wanted to, but I have definitely had sex with everyone who wanted to have sex with me.
That is the best thing, because that is, yeah, I cannot sum it up. Anyone who's ever thought, you know, I think I'll have sex with Garth, I'm there. It's done. They regret it.
I don't think I've ever said no.
I think I failed to have sex, but I didn't say no. I was just like, I was like throwing up or like too drunk.
Oh yeah, I've been too drunk.
I've been incapable, but it's one of those, the mind is willing, but the body is weak scenarios. Like, I've tried to soft cock it. I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm just, yeah. I want to more than you do right now, and it's my fault.
You ever get to that stage where you're just giving your penis a pep talk, going, come on.
You're in the corner of the room. Get your shit together, man. Come on. It's game time.
Because you hit that certain point with like drunk where you really want to, but you just can't.
Or like you're horny as anything. You really want to do it, but you know that the motion is going to make you throw up. Like you're kind of queasy. Horny and queasy. Queasy. I'm wheezy. And it's that like you may start, but you're not finishing.
You're that part where you're like 2.5 hours in going, almost there.
I'm almost in.
There.
Have I fallen asleep in someone? I know someone's fallen asleep with me in them. Their mouth. Why am I telling these details? You don't need to know. I've had a girl fall asleep on me. Yes, I have fallen asleep. You ever had that, like, it's not that I fell asleep during, but I remember waking up during. Like, I nodded off. And you can't, you know, like when you have that like momentary fall asleep, wake up thing.
Oh, yeah.
You could have been out for an hour. You don't know. You just, to you though, it's just like, oh, what happened? She's still there. The mind is willing, but the body is weak.
See, I think with my wife, we do more... it's more of a, like, we don't do the cuddling afterwards. It's more of a just...
Because she's your wife.
Yeah. It's like boxes. You just mix it up in the middle and then you go into your separate corners.
at the bell, go back. Your cornerman will tell you what you need to work on for the next round.
We've each got a water bottle there. We just...
Hydrate. Towel down. Stretch out. Get someone with an ice pack on your back. All right, yeah. Okay, I like your combinations here. You got to keep the rhythm up, okay? One, two. One, two. One, two. She's in the corner of her corner. You gotta keep bobbing and weaving, okay? Keep bobbing.
Sometimes it's a good night, sometimes we go for round two.
Knockout! Oh, that's a technical knockout, that one.
I always think when you have sex with a girl, the best response that you want at the end is she goes straight to sleep.
Yes.
That's like the, I know I did my job properly. When, like, she's exhausted and she's like, oh, that was so good. And then she just, like, falls asleep and you're like, I did it.
I knocked your ass out.
That's it.
Then you walk around like a hero, like, yeah, I did that. It doesn't matter that she was tired beforehand. She was just having sex with you because you really wanted to. She's like, I don't want to, but just hurry up and finish because I'm tired. You finish up and she goes straight to sleep like, I did that. Never mind the 13-hour shift she just finished before you bugged her.
Even so much that, like, afterwards, if she's still up, she's like, oh, that was really good. And I'm just like, yeah, but you're still awake. I could have done better.
Exactly. Clearly, I didn't finish off.
You still have energy left.
I can't go play video games now. I needed you to pass out so I could go finish this level.
Now we're going to talk.
You know it's worse if they start talking about things that are completely unrelated. I think it was Richard Pryor who said, if you get to the end of sex and a woman's like, oh my God, that was the greatest thing ever. Good man. If you get to the end and she's talking about, like, computers and downloading things, you got some more fucking to do. You're not done yet. And also with the fall asleep thing, it is a fine line. Afterwards, great, good job, you did your thing. During?
Yeah.
That's a walk of shame. Do you finish? Do I just pretend I didn't notice? Sex on a bicycle.
I don't. How would the logistics of that work?
I'm trying to think of that. She'd have to be on the hand. I don't think you could be riding while you do it.
I think you have to with a bike, otherwise it doesn't balance.
You'd have to have one foot on the ground, you know what I mean? Like you know the Corona ad where the guy's got his foot up on a bike where you'd rather be? Like that position.
I think at this point, just intentionally having sex on a bicycle, like you could just have sex on the ground just as easily. Yeah. If not more easily.
You're making a point. No, yeah. I want to have sex on a bike. You specifically left the house to have sex on a bike.
Bicycle racing is a thing.
There's a whole...
Bicycle safety.
A safety bicycle is a type of bicycle that's safe-ish. Because bikes have gone through, we should go over through the evolution of bikes here, because they're very different from when they started.
Yeah, I think it's that the first chain-driven bike was developed in 1885.
Before then, the pedals were directly attached to the front wheel. Those penny farthings, however you pronounce it, the big wheel, I love that.
They look unrealistic. Whoever thought it was a good idea? Why did they make the wheel so big?
Well, because then you get to go further with it. It allows you to propel yourself faster than walking. To go back, no, it wasn't a good idea. They don't have brakes. It's really hard to get on.
And off.
And off. Yeah, if you stop, you pretty much fall over. And you've got this huge wheel wedged between your legs. And you have to be tall enough to reach the pedals.
But again, like, the bigger the wheel, the less energy thing. But surely you could have made the wheel smaller than that so it's more realistic. Because you look at bikes today, they use a very small wheel.
But that's because we have the cog system. Because of the chain, it goes from one to the other and it allows for different rotation. But no, it was a crappy design. And it was completely useless. What was it? Mulga Bill? What was the Australian thing about the guy with the bike? It was like a bush poem? Mulga's bike or... I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't bother with it. It's just another thing about how if you ride a penny farthing in Australia where there's no roads, it's not a good idea.
All right, well, the word bicycle first appeared in the Daily News in 1868.
Oh, tricycle spelt with a Y.
Is it? I thought it was
a Y. Oh, actually, both of them are, sorry. They, instead of bicycle with an I and tricycle with an I, it's with a Y.
Where's the tricycle?
See, to describe bicycles and tricycles. Yeah, right there. So they spelt it differently.
Yeah, cool. They're the first one who called it a bicycle. Well, they wouldn't use bicycle to describe a tricycle.
No, it's a tricycle.
Why do you keep calling this a bicycle? It's an extra wheel. Shut that wheel silent.
Because it goes both ways. Not really, the bikes don't go backwards.
Or it's just a coincidence. Hey, these things have two wheels. And there's a bi in there.
Thank you, Arthur Bicycle, for inventing this. I want to look at this one here. It looks to be the original bike, I think. The first two-wheeler, and it's called a Drazine.
Yeah, from 1820.
Now, looking at it, I don't see any pedals. You see the handlebars?
You can see those bars. Maybe you rotate them to rotate the wheels.
I think it's just for going downhill.
That is a really crappy-looking bike. It's got cushioning, though, and they cushion the handles.
Ooh. Oh, that's... Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, wait, which way do you go? I don't even know which way you face.
I think you face the small wheel. The big wheel goes at the back, because that's where, the handle's at the front there. It's a weird-looking handle, like an anchor sticking up at you.
But what's that thing in front of the handle, then? The big cushiony thing?
It looks like that's for you to lean on. And what's holding that up? It's just hanging in midair. Is that even part of the bike?
That's a piece of wood there.
Oh, okay, yep. This is where I like, when people come up with an invention at first, and you look at it and you go, that's the dumbest thing ever. This will never take off.
And yeah, I would look at that and say that will never take off.
Yeah.
Then you got this picture of it from 1868. So this is 48 years later, this is what they developed.
The Velocipede. That's how they said it. This one has...
It was probably a clever play on words. It
probably was really clever. It's a pun from the 1800s.
So yeah, because they just put the pedals directly on the wheel.
And a back wheel for balance. But yeah, for a long time, bikes didn't have brakes. That's a scary thing.
Well, it just seems that you would just pedal the other way.
Well, yeah, you'd have to control it, like slow it down with your feet. So once you get a momentum up, like if you start going down a hill, you're kind of screwed. Because I think also it doesn't have the ball bearing. So if the wheel turns, the pedals turn. So if you start going faster than you can handle, you're dead.
Could you imagine like a couple of old guys walking and then some kids just go past them on these bikes and like, kids and their technology.
You hooligans and your wheelie bike thing. Your wheelie frames.
I don't need these modern things.
Your goddamn wooden wheelie horse. Next they'll be wanting to open parks where they ride them around.
Yeah, the development of the penny farthing, does it say?
Which, that's the one with the huge wheel at the front.
When was that developed? The 1880s.
They'd had a couple of successes, they had a couple of prototypes before then, and then someone went.
That's when the safety bicycle came in. That's when they stopped making it, was in 1880s. When did they make it?
Yeah, 1870s.
Oh wait, that Velocipede? They had, the penny farthing was competition. With it. The penny farthing used a larger wheel than the Velocipede.
Because they're the
thus
Velocipede.
Gave it higher speeds.
Thus giving higher speeds on all but the steepest hills. In other words, it's great for going downhill or flat.
You'd be taken out in a penny farthing on a steep hill.
Yeah, you're not going up a hill and you probably don't want to go down too steep a hill.
A penny farthing is basically a unicycle with a training wheel.
Yes, it is, isn't it? I love that this took off. Like, people saw that and went, yeah, me too. In fact, let's all invent a style of mustache we can all have so you can identify people not on penny farthing.
See, look at this jerk here on the... This is today. Like, look at that guy's clothing. That's...
Quite possibly last week. Well, look at the store behind them.
Yeah. Still, he still keeps to that penny farthing. He's like, they're making a comeback.
I'm interesting.
They kind of remind me of, those little Bluetooth earpieces you could get for phones?
Yes.
That businessmen have? They're a great and fantastic idea. The only downside is they make you look like a douchebag when you're wearing it. Penny farthing's the same, no matter how good it is. Show me one that you can ride without looking like a douchebag.
Yeah, it might be the funnest thing in the world, but the preconception of everyone who's used one is the problem.
Because riding a penny farthing is a very good trick, but the trick I want to see now is that guy getting laid. I don't think it can be done. You can't ride a penny farthing and then go get laid.
I think you've just invented a game. Everyone out there, this is the competition. The first to give us proof that you picked up a chick while you were riding a penny farthing will give you something.
Shortest time between penny farthing and pussy.
I think we could come up with an equation for this. Penny farthing divided by time times mustache divided by ye old clothing. The square root.
Oh yeah, try not dressing like an idiot while you're doing it. Because if you get extra points if you don't look like a douchebag. Actually, if you do dress like an idiot and do it and still get laid, that's extra points.
Extra points. It doesn't count if you're married to them. It doesn't count if you paid for it. And it doesn't count if you're actually a good looking guy.
I would like to see someone play a Dungeons and Dragons game, leave on a unit on a penny farthing, go somewhere and then pick up.
What's that? A pheromone? Not a pheromone. The theremin? The musical instrument you don't touch. What's that called? A theremin?
Yeah.
Playing a theremin and Dungeons and Dragons in cosplay on a penny farthing. While quoting Star Wars.
Because I had a friend of mine recently said that he started playing Dungeons and Dragons. And he's like turning up to these like groups where they're actually playing events and stuff like that. And he's just had his second kid. So I figure in his head he's like, well, I'm practically married anyway. I've got two kids.
Well, I think if anything...
I don't need to work for pussy anymore.
He's got two kids. This is his birth control.
Exactly.
I'm getting laid way too much. I don't need any more kids. I got to do something drastic. I'm gonna play Dungeons and Dragons, okay? This is the only way to keep the women off me. It's just too much. Which brings up a good question. Imagine if, like, a Hollywood hunk, Colin Farrell, there's a guy, if he came out and went, oh yeah, I play Dungeons and Dragons, would that get him less laid? Or would that get people who play Dungeons and Dragons more laid? Like, well, if Colin Farrell did it, maybe that's where the hot guys are now. Or would that ruin his career?
I think women would find something that Colin Farrell does attractive, but then when you do the same thing, they don't find that attractive. It's just, they find Colin Farrell. not all attractive.
That's story of my life right there. Yeah, it was hot when he did it.
But when you do it,
it's just kind of sad.
Uses. What are the uses of a bicycle?
Riding. Okay, so we've got transportation. That's an obvious one. Commuting, which is another form of transportation.
And utility cycling. What's utility cycling?
This is going to be fun. There's the Amsterdam one.
Utility cycling encompasses any cycling done simply for the means of transport.
So the first three uses of bicycles are transport, is what
it's just basically different ways to say transport.
Which Wikipedia does this all the time.
I think utility cycling is you can't enjoy it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be happy about it. You can't say we, and you can only ring the bell for practical applications. You can't just do it for fun.
It's just got to be functional.
No smiling on bicycles in Beijing, okay?
Otherwise, you're just bicycle commuting.
This is a utilitarian society. We don't do that. And there's, mail carriers, which we've got posty bikes here.
It's used as a workhorse. Because, a bike is pretty much just a replacement for a horse. Because you don't have to feed it.
But you do have to pedal it is the problem. And I think you get more chicks on a horse, to be honest.
Well, but do you reckon that was always the case? Do you reckon when everyone was on horses and then you rock up on a bike, they're just like, oh my God, it's a bike.
I think you got a point. That might be right. Like, ooh. Or would it be like, you're just a nerd with the new technology? Like, I've got this new computer. Chicks are going to like me. That's what you're basically saying. Like, he comes up with his bicycle and they're like, God, what a nerd. Can't even ride a horse.
But horses go faster than a bike, so.
And for longer because the horse is doing the work. You can just sit on there and it'll figure it out for you. Cowboys used to fall asleep on their horses and still get where they're going. Don't do that on a bike. You'll get rash on your face.
That's another thing you can get done for drunk driving on a horse. But I figure that shouldn't be a problem unless the horse is drunk. Because who the hell can run a horse into a tree?
It's not so much that. It's that suddenly you're going to decide to ride at places you probably shouldn't. You'll take your horse through the car wash.
I don't think the horse would go, though.
Well, they wouldn't know what's happening until it's too late. If I was drunk on a horse, I'd ride into convenience stores. Can I get a Kit Kat, please? I want a bale of hay for him.
But that's a separate fine, innit? Like, you can't, even if you're sober, you can't ride a horse into a convenience store.
That's true. And you can't ride a bike drunk either, can you?
No, you can't ride a bike drunk, which I think is stupid.
You can't ride anything. You can walk, but then you can be drunk in public.
What about, like, roller skates?
Because that's not a vehicle, is it? Like, if you're rollerblading around drunk, first off, you're not going to go very far.
And what about a scooter if it's one of those little, like, you know, the Blade scooter, the Raider.
Oh, Razor scooter. Yeah, like an actual pushy scooter. Every time I've ever seen someone on them, they do look drunk anyways. That's just the way it moves.
Yeah, what sort of vehicle? What about those shoes that have like the wheels built into them?
Those cool things, which is funny because, you can walk in them, but the second you roll on a wheel, you're in trouble.
Can you imagine like scooting across and a cop just stops you and like random breath tests you? Because you're too drunk to doing that. You got to take your shoes off for like 24 hours your license is suspended.
Well, they're just like, no, you've got to walk heel toe. I don't want to see any rolling. You walk down that hill. You don't glide.
Tend to like put on your shoes. You got this little device put on there that has a tube that you got to blow into to make sure that you're sober.
They put the clamp on the wheel. Got to drag this thing home.
It looked like you're wearing high heels. It's like, nah, man, they just clamp my shoe.
And they just do one. So you got to drag this thing. All right, it does go into here all the different bicycles finally. Bicycle touring, mountain biking, physical fitness. And then it says BMX racing, track racing, roller racing.
We'll click it.
Sportifs.
What's roller?
Bicycle rolls. It's like a bike that doesn't go anywhere, but it's not an exercise bike.
Bike on rollers.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when they test cars out, they put them on the wheel on the roller so it doesn't move anywhere.
If you live in a shitty little apartment and you still want to get into bike racing, bicycle roller racing is a pretty good idea for you.
Yeah, that'd be more expensive than just getting an exercise bike though. And a way more scarier, because I don't care how good that is. The whole time you're on it, you're just like, if I flinch the wrong way, I'm going to go straight into that wall.
I always thought if I had an exercise bike, I would like one that had like a little power generator put up on it.
Oh yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Just so I'm not wasting my time. Even if it was just a little bit of electricity, if it charged my phone or... I always thought it'd be cool if it had a little TV on it and you pedaling powered the TV. If you wanted to watch TV, you had to keep pedaling.
You wait and see how quickly it takes for you to go around that though.
Yeah, I'd probably put a little thing in there where I can just plug it into a wall as well, just in case. Sometimes I just want to sit on the bike.
I get some sort of motor that turns the wheels for me. Because they do have that in actual exercise bikes in gyms and stuff with the TVs. The folding bikes, have you seen one of those before?
No.
It's the goofiest thing. It looks really crappy, but you can fold it up and it's like literally it'll fit in a briefcase.
Have you done a tandem bike?
No. Have you ever been on a tandem bike?
I have been on a tandem bike.
Front or back?
Front.
Okay, so you're a bottom. What's it like? Is it any different from a regular bike or is it a group effort you don't want to do?
Nah, it's not really. I mean, being at the front, you kind of forget that you're on a tandem most of the time anyway.
It's only the back person who's got a problem.
Yeah. You're splitting the effort so you do go, but also it's twice as hard to move the bike, so it just evens out. It's no more or less effort than riding a bike. bike. It was me and my brother when we were kids. My parents hired one out from like the botanical gardens.
Oh, yep. See.
And we just rode around on that. But I think we only did it for a little while before like, yeah, it's kind of boring.
This sucks because I'm stuck with you. I'd rather go off on my own. Thank you.
A single bike is usually better.
And it's easier to get around. Also, I think I'd rather be the back person because, I mean, you say you got to share the pedaling, but you can't see what I'm doing.
That's true.
Put my feet up. I just want to point out this picture right here, the firefighter bicycle. There is a bicycle for firefighters.
With a hose on it.
Yes. That's essentially what makes it a fireman's. It's a really old bike, but I'd say, yeah, 1900. And it's like old-timey for firemen to get around. Now, all it is a hose reeled up. So you need to plug that into something. And also, I just want to point out that that hose reel would be really heavy. Like, those things weigh a lot.
Well, then the bike would have to have sturdy wheels, though.
And, well, it just means that going uphill would be virtually impossible.
Downhill would be awesome, though.
Oh, it's scary as anything, yeah. That's got to be the most impractical firefighting device I've ever seen.
It does have brakes on it, though.
You'd hope so, yeah. You don't want to go into the fire. That's how we do it. We extinguish fires from the inside out.
Let's say I went skiing one time and there was a friend of mine who was with me and he was on skis and I was on snowboard. And he got pretty good at balancing on the skis, but stopping he couldn't figure out. So I remember going down a run and he just like shot off and went down. And when I got to the bottom, I was like, wow, that was really awesome. You went through that really fast. I could barely keep up. And he's like, yeah, I was just going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit the whole time. Like I couldn't change direction. I couldn't stop. I was just trying not to fall.
I've been skiing twice. That's exactly the same thing. You start going and then I learned how to stop because it was either that or I would have hit this tree and died. That's when evolution steps in. It's make or break time, Garth. I'm flying down the hill out of control and you're trying not to do the splits because that's the number one thing. I don't care if I crash into things as long as my legs don't rip apart like the skis want to. And I'm going straight for this tree. And like up until this point, they teach you, you know, pizza french fries.
Yes.
We all know that. You know, you make a pizza shape with your skis to slow down. But I'm going towards this at such a rate that no pizza is going to save me. I kind of like tried to duck and hide. And that's when my skis parallel stopped. I don't know how to describe that. Like where you sort of with both of them. The way the professionals did, a professional stop. I ended up lying down at the end. My feet were the closest thing to the tree.
At least you didn't hit it.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I just figured out how to parallel stop on skis.
All I need to do is fly at a tree and I can learn anything.
That seems to be it. All I need is someone to throw me at trees for the rest of my life. Quadricycles.
There is a quadricycle. I am wrong. So does that mean a car is a quadricycle?
No.
A cycle, because it's cycle a pedal powered thing.
Once you put an engine involved, then it's an auto something.
Autocycle. That's cool. That just looks like a bunch of deck chairs with wheels under it.
That I guess, yeah, you all have to pedal together. If you thought the tandem bike was hard, that's two people at the back just like slacking off, having a chat. I like that it had an umbrella. Most of these seem to have umbrellas actually, or roofs.
Some of them look like shitty cars.
Imagine you took two bikes and welded them together. That's what you've got. That's a quadricycle.
Yeah. Lowriders.
My little brother was about that age when they came up with the lowrider bikes. You know, when they like motorbikes, choppers became popular. And then someone went, let's make choppers for bicycles so kids can have them. And every kid went, this is the coolest bike. Yeah, have you ever tried to ride one?
Yeah, they're awkward and shitty.
There's nowhere that's actually good to ride them. You could be on a flat surface and it's still not. Oh, look at that.
They got one with hydraulics here on the page. A little GIF image.
Welcome to our world. That's someone cool. Wasted a lot of money on that.
If you bothered to make a bike look that good and put hydraulics in it and anything, why didn't you just buy a shitty car?
That's what I was going to say.
Because the best bicycle in the world still isn't as good as a shitty car.
Exactly. What do they say? Like, you see a dog with three legs, and they're not unhappy that they've lost a leg, but you know what's happier than a dog with three legs? A dog with four legs. The happiest dog with three legs doesn't compare.
Do you see this? A low-ride bike of the year. They tell you who's got the... They stopped the competition in 2006 when a company called Pocket Change.
Pocket Change.
One.
Okay.
Oh, that's the trike.
Oh, there's the trike of the year. There's the lowrider bike of the year. Yeah, because the trikes are also like lowriders. They're probably the nicer lowriders, like more practical to use because you on a tricycle, you can lean the right way.
It was Pinnacle who won the lowrider of the year in 2007 and 2006.
There's a lot of these that have 2 years in a row and the Casino Dreaming had a 4-year winning streak of this.
96. Yeah, by 98, they're just like, motherfucker, we got this. And then someone's going out like, the Wolverine 2, they've been hearing a little bit of murmurings about this coming out. Like, fuck you, we crushed the Wolverine 1.
We did crush it.
Those motherfuckers didn't even know how to make a bike.
We've been
2000's our year, motherfucker.
Wolverine 2.
Shit. Really? We'll get him next year. Who the fuck are these Spawn guys?
Don't worry, I don't think we'll ever hear from them again. Oh, they won 2002 as well. And then Wolverine people went, alright, look, we've got to get back in.
Yeah, we got to come out with the third one.
The Wolverine 3. Then it was the Prophecy, then the Pinnacle.
Casino Dreaming's like, what the fuck's going on? We knocked out the Twisted Obsession before us.
I like that the pinnacle of this year-by-year system is called the pinnacle. The pinnacle of the Lowrider Bike of the Year is called the pinnacle. That's probably how they knew which one won. Yeah, so that's Lowrider Bicycles.
Lowrider Bike Competitions. Well, electronic bikes. Have you seen that? They got those little motors in there so it can sometimes do the work for you.
Is that the moped thing? Because mopeds can be petrol, but it's like when you cycle, it also powers it up.
It's kind of like, here, I'll get the picture up. So you've got like a little, there's the engine inbuilt there. And so you flip a switch and it will turn the chain for you and you don't have to touch the pedals.
Do you power it up or like so that you can use it or do you have to plug it in?
I think there is some way you can power it up by doing it. There is some way you can plug it in and some with a bit of petrol.
Okay, all the options. I like that they call it an e-bike because that makes me think it's on the internet.
The e-bike, I'm betting you, is electronic or something. Yeah, it probably doesn't use petrol if it has e.
These are all electric bikes, are they?
Yeah, they just look like normal bikes with a motor attached. You could literally, if you owned a bike, make your own bike an electric bike. Actually, I think electric bikes probably aren't petrol powered then.
Yeah, no, they'd be all electric.
Amphibious bicycle.
Oh my god, we just found the coolest page ever. Look at this. That's genius.
They're little floaty things. I have ridden on something like this. Yeah, like now that I think about it. A tricycle sort of version of it.
We all know those ones. Yeah, the water wheel ones that you get out at the beach that don't really go anywhere. You get out past the surf and then you immediately want to just go back.
Why is this idiot wearing a suit?
Well, you wouldn't take the bike seriously if he wasn't in a suit.
Yeah, but after he gets to the other end of the lake or the river or whatever the hell he's trying to cross, yeah, that suit's going to be wet.
Those leather shoes are going to be destroyed.
He should have worn his old-timey bathing suit.
That would have been better. It is letting us down with the mustache. He's a bit more Hitler than Penny Farthing.
But there's a really short page on amphibious cycles.
Fair enough. I mean, how many have you known?
And it's like it's a water bike.
Because that's what we've used, the water bikes, isn't it?
Because it says it can be used on both land and water, but I bet they suck to use on land.
And water. I bet it's just impractical.
It tries to do both. It's good at neither.
Exactly. Whenever you combine two things, you get the worst of each instead of the best. It's like there's singers, there's dancers. But you know what can't do either as well? Singer slash dancers. They can't sing or dance.
Now they said here there's one that achieves an average speed of 1.12 meters per second.
That's all right, isn't it?
Which isn't too bad.
Is that that one that looks like a race car? The picture down there, is that it? The Ocean Biker is a boat bike.
That looks cool. It kind of looks like a canoe with wheels on the side.
It looks like the solar panel race cars.
It even looks like it's got a solar panel there.
I think that might be
powerful. It tried to win two competitions.
Tried to.
That would be pretty cool if cars could just go in the water.
Well, they can. They just don't come out very well.
Yeah.
People have tried that for a very long time. And people get very excited about a car that turns into a boat and then back into a car. But when you think about the practical application of it, like it's not so much the water, it's getting in the water and getting out of it that's the problem.
When they talk about cars that are powered by water, I've always thought, no, a boat that's powered by water would be genius. Yes. It's like there's just petrol everywhere.
Because if there's no water, you can't use the boat.
Yeah.
Either way, if you don't have water, it's not going anywhere because it can't be powered and it can't float.
So yeah, water-powered boat just seems way better.
Like an air-powered aeroplane.
What's a tall bike? Yeah.
It's just it's a bike that's like a frame above a frame. It's just something designed so people can really hurt themselves, I imagine.
It's a look at me bike.
Look at me, I'm above the crowd.
It would make you stand out above a crowd. You'd probably be a bit taller than people who are standing up.
Because if you stood up on it too.
The pedals are like halfway up, so that's going to be like difficult to get onto.
It'd be like the Penny Farthing. It's hard to get started and stopping sucks also. But that in-between bit, you get to say we a lot. Oh, look at that.
Here's this dude. Okay, looking at the way he's dressed, this kind of all makes sense now. It is a look at me bike. See, that person dressed normal on a normal person human bike. This dude needs fucking cards on his head, brightly colored shirt.
He's got all kinds of red crap, and he's got a little basket for some reason, wearing a stupid stuff on his helmet, and he's got wheels on it.
Yeah, it's like a look at me, I'm different.
That's a great example of men have no idea what women are attracted to, and we just try things. Will you sleep with me now? I heard you like tall guys. What about tall bike guys?
What's a recumbent bicycle? Guess.
Recumbence. I honestly don't know.
I couldn't figure that out either. Let's have a look.
Oh, it's one of those reclining ones.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're the most dangerous things about, because you do see people riding them, and it's kind of like the guy who really is past trying to be attractive to women.
That's beyond Dungeons and Dragons, one of these bikes.
It's women kryptonite.
It's kind of like you also, when you start riding this, not only will you get no future sex, all the sex you have achieved up to that point is taken off you and you are now a virgin again.
It starts pouring off out of your system. You start losing memories. But yeah, they're dangerous because you can't see them. The only way you know they're there is because they have that flag at the back. But then you're like, well, there's a flag there. Maybe I'm on a golf course. I don't know.
They get hit with a lot of golf balls.
I'm going to start doing that now. I'm going to carry some golf balls in my car.
So have you ever been at a driving range and and had the guy in the little cart come out and collect.
You've got to hit the guy. I'm pretty sure they don't even need the guy to clean up the balls. Like, they could do that at the end of the day. That's how you get more balls sold.
I don't think that him cleaning up the balls helps, because although he goes and cleans up balls, I reckon 3 times the amount of balls get hit in the time that he's out there.
He leaves with more balls being hit out there than when he started.
Yeah, he goes, more balls got hit in the past 15 minutes that I was out there than the 3 hours that went before it. Most of them are wedged in my cage.
Exactly. That'd be horrible too, the noise it would make from hitting the cage. Like, you'd get some shell shock from that. Ching, 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 ching.
So when you hit a golf ball and you hear it sail through the air and then you hear this ding, you're just like, yes, I hit the cage.
Exactly. So that's a reward.
Because I've never been told off for doing it. And when I've been there with people, we are obviously deliberately going for the dude in the car.
But that's the thing. Everyone is. I'm pretty sure that's part and parcel. Golf driving ranges, that they do that on purpose. In fact, there are a lot of ones where the guy will dress up or something.
It'd be good if they mocked you as well. Every time you miss, he's like, ah, you can't hit me for shit.
You try. You couldn't. I don't care.
Oh, sorry, did you boys stop playing and let your mothers take over? Give me the foot. I'd just be running up to the counter. More balls, more balls.
More balls. Give me more balls.
Just keep bringing them out there until I bury this motherfucker.
I need some sort of cluster ball, like soccer ball size, that when I hit it, it just turns into like 100 balls with spikes. In the end, I'd just run out there with the golf club. But before I even made it to him, everyone would hit me with their balls. There's an unprotected man on the field. Get him. Have you ever been at a driving range and someone's club got away from them?
No.
I've seen this. Yeah, at the driving range, you're hitting balls. And then suddenly you see in amongst all the balls going up there, this like 5-iron flinging through the air, like going just as far as the ball. And then it lands. And then you see the idiot decide he has to get his club. And then you get to see this tidal wave of balls coming out. Humanity is a horrible thing.
Well, it's his fault for being stupid.
Yeah, he was stupid twice then. It's your fault for not having a good grip, and it's your fault for not realizing that you are now a target.
The idiot is just lucky he didn't go to the gun range.
Although how you shot your gun out,
bang, and the recoil just throws it out there.
Usually that goes, oh, actually no, with the semi-automatic it could do that.
Bounces off your shoulder and just goes out. Or he like touches it and it's hot and he's like, ah, throws it out. Oh wait, I gotta get my gun back. Bang, 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 bang. Moving target, guys. I have always thought that a gun range is a good place to go to leave your car unlocked, because who the hell is gonna break into a car at a gun range?
If your car doesn't lock, you should just park at driving ranges.
Yeah,
and leave it there.
Or gun ranges. Driving range you might get your car.
Sorry, I said the wrong thing. To drive to a gun range.
My car doesn't get broken into at a driving range either, because there's always a lot nicer cars there than mine.
Golfers, they have a higher income than we.
Yeah, you're going to break into my piece of shit, a Ferrari.
And if you're going to break into cars at a driving range, you probably got a higher self-esteem than someone who would break into my car. I'm here for a Lexus.
I mean, you could steal my stereo. It's only going to ask you for the security code, and I don't even know that.
You can steal my stereo, but do you even have any cassettes?
And even if you do, how are you going to get the one that's stuck in mine out? Performance of bicycles, which is not as good as cars,
which I save you the time. It does show that they put a lot of effort in, because if you look at like cyclists, like the spandex people, they take it so seriously. They make the bikes out of carbon fiber. They do everything to make it more wind resistant.
They say 99% of the energy put into the pedals goes to the wheels. Which, what happens to the other 1%?
It just gets lost in the transition.
It's a squeaky noise it makes.
That's when you slip off and your shin hits the pedal.
With the conservation of energy, when something loses energy, if it heats up or it makes a noise, that's where some of that energy is going. Because it creates energy to make a noise.
The energy that wouldn't go into the back wheel would be like, you know, the bike goes from side to side to keep balanced. That 1% might go to like energy that goes down is also redirecting the bike. But that's still pretty good.
Although gear mechanisms may reduce this by 10 to 15%. You can't go 10 to 15%. Or maybe it's 10 to 15% of the 99%.
Yeah, like it's saying like it'll reduce it from 99% down another 10-15.
Yeah.
It's got gears. You lose energy in the transition, but it's also, it's easier to cycle.
Yeah, relative difference and actual difference. It's kind of like when they say with some foods, like it gives you a 10% higher chance of getting cancer. It's like if you have 1% chance of getting cancer, it's 10% of that 1%. So it's now 1.1%, but they make it sound like now you've got a 10% chance.
Yeah, so it's just all about how statistics are presented. Statistics, interesting.
I can't wait for the Wikipedia page on statistics.
I can.
You can? I believe that 94% of our listeners believe I just made this statistic up.
I think most statistics are made up, at least like 83%.
84 now. Yeah. Now we're looking at a diagram of a bicycle. That's a mountain bike, for anyone interested. I like that there's a crank. Crank's a good word.
Yeah, the biology of a bike is really, you get a valve, a tire, rim. That's just on the wheel. Yeah, it breaks it off into little...
The seating area has a seat post and a saddle.
They call it a saddle. I never knew that a bike seat was called a saddle.
You got a crank arm. What's a cog set?
Yeah. Derailleur. That's a brake, I think. No,
rear brakes are up there.
Oh, no, yeah, that's that... You know that wheel that, like, in between the gears that you go, why is that there? That's a rear derailleur.
One of those things.
That thing.
So that's the anatomy of a bike.
Good to know. History, women's bicycles frames had a top tube that connected in the middle of the seat tube instead of the top. Oh, yeah, that's what they're saying. Like, you know, with your regular mountain bike, the top bar goes straight across. Women would have that go downwards. Okay. And this is to do with back in time, like, mainly because, you know, they wore long dresses or it wasn't... Like, women had to ride horses side saddle because it was unbecoming of a lady to have her legs spread, which, well, time caught up with that, didn't it?
Little thing when you hear about how shit everything was for women back then, it seems like, yeah, they had real problems back then, not like the ones like now.
Yeah,
it's pretty good comparatively.
I know that we as two white males are in no position to say that it's way better now or like that there's no problems now, but when you compare the problems, and I've said this before, I think, you say that as white men, we're not capable of understanding if sexism or racism is still out there. No, actually, we understand more so because we're of the generation of men who are told what we can't do. It's a really crazy list.
See, say what you want about white men. Out of all of the groups out there, we are the ones who try to include the groups more than any other.
Try to get
we
everyone
go out of our way to do it, even to the point that it's weird sometimes.
We take it a little too far. We seem a little sensitive about it. That's why everyone jumps on board.
Like, have you ever heard a white guy who's just made a black friend?
Yes.
They're excited. Like, even when you get, like, a gay friend, you're just like, I've got a gay friend.
Hey, I've collected another kind.
It's great.
But you don't see a black guy like, yeah, I got a white friend.
Yeah, I hang out with this white guy. He's awesome.
I just met a white person. You should hang out with them. They're actually really cool.
Yeah. I don't even notice his color. We sometimes make racist jokes, but it's okay because he's cool.
Yeah,
and we're cool.
We thought it was a bit edgy, but he laughed, so it's okay. That's why I need him there, so I can make my racist jokes. And that is funny because I've never heard more jokes about black people than from black people. At a gig last week, there was a Aboriginal fella in the audience, and I was having a chat to him, and he said something. He was like, I forget the joke, but then he goes, oh, I'm just being a cheeky black fella to her. I'm like, I can't say that, but you can, so I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I remember being in America, and we bumped into these black people, but they were telling us that they were coming to Australia for a conference, going, oh, you're gonna have a flood of black people coming into Australia. And I didn't know how to react to that joke because I don't want to double down on it and be like,
well, I'm not going back there if you're gonna be there, you bunch of there goes the neighborhood.
You don't want to say anything like that, so you just awkwardly laugh. And it's like, look, you can be racist like that, but I can't.
Exactly, that's for them.
Plus, I've known you for 10 seconds.
On the flip side, we can't make white people jokes. Mm. They can, but it's just a reverse black person joke.
That was a weird experience, though, because they were sort of like joking around about their color a bit in the conversation. And I would sort of laugh, and it was all fine, because I'm like, I don't have a problem with the fact that you're black. And then they sort of drop that they're Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm like, oh, you're one of those people, are you? All of a sudden, they became those people.
Those
color had nothing to do with it. Jehovah's Witness, it's like, oh, you're into some religious thing? Okay.
This is good about you. It shows that you define people by their beliefs more than their creed.
That's the weird thing I find is, like, when they say you shouldn't judge people by their beliefs, I'm like, isn't that exactly what you should be judging people by?
That's the first thing. If I came out and told you that I believe that a lizard created the world by hatching an egg over a fire and then bacon made grass, I'd expect you to judge me a little bit.
But at least on how you perceive the world.
That's a good frame. Okay, so that's how you view, that's your core beliefs. Everything else that you believe is built on that. I'm pretty sure I can judge this book. If you judge a book by the cover, I mean, you know what the Bible is. I read it. It said Bible. I think I know what's going to happen.
They have a whole thing on the seating.
When I was putting Ali's bike together, that was one thing that got me, was like getting the seat the right, like I put it together the way I thought it should look. And then she sat on it and she's like way up in the air. And like, you need to lower this because I can't reach the pedals.
No, you're sitting wrong. Look at the box. It's right.
And also because you have to angle what angle you want the seat to be on. And I had that completely wrong too. And then, yeah, so seating, brakes, which there has been a long development in brakes. The drum one's the usual. usual one. But back in the day, like I said, they don't have any. I think the best one, though, is, you know, your BMX one, when you just turn the wheels backwards and it just brakes for you. Whoever invented that was the genius. Of all bike technology, that was the greatest thing, I think.
Yeah, that was a good way to start.
Because then you get to do skids. Whereas if you do that with, like, a mountain bike with the handlebar ones, it's not the same.
And I always go down, like, I'm going really fast. I'm like, oh, shit, which one's the front wheel and which one's the back wheel? Because I'm afraid of doing the front wheel and then just flipping over the handlebar.
Get it straight over.
Which I have done at least twice in my life. That's suspension.
That's a new thing to bikes, which you only really find in the mountain biking thing.
Wheels and tires and accessories. You can get mud guards and fenders.
Little side saddle things. Everything you could put on a horse, you can put on a bike by the looks. And there's two places to put your water bottle.
Luggage carriers, child seats.
So that just looks like it wouldn't be very fun at all to ride that.
This bike here?
Yeah, the touring bicycle equipped with front and rear racks.
Yeah, it's got two water. It's got a sleeping mattress.
Or maybe that's a yoga mat. I mean, if you're doing a bicycle tour, you probably do yoga. That's a general rule. I say that because I know someone who did a bicycle tour and she does yoga. And she's very much the stereotype.
See, I figure if that's your bed, bike's pretty comfy then.
It's on your level. It's not above or below your expectation. In fact, you're happy to have one.
You're used to roughing it. Standards.
There's an organization. The International Organization of for Standardization. Special Technical Committee for Cycles. It's a Special Technical Committee for Cycles, yet the word bicycle or cycle does not appear in the name at all. It's just the ISO.
The ISO. Or you've got the European one, which is the CEN.
And what
it says the European Committee for Standardization, but they got the C and the E.
Yeah, it should be Committee of European Standardization. Maybe because it's in a different language. Although,
but that'd be a coincidence if the word for Europe started with C and the word for committee started with E.
And but then the N at the end. See, S?
But isn't Europe just Europe? Because Europe is the one who named everything.
Europa.
So it's because you'd have like Japan and Russia, they all have their own names for each other, but they were names given to them by Europe.
But Europe named Europe Europe.
Yeah, Europe just named everything, so...
I do like that if you look at old maps, you see like the Orient or the Far East. Like older people still call Asians Oriental, and that's not cool, it turns out. And they don't understand that. I think the most racist thing is saying Far East. No, it's not Far East. If you live there, it's actually the center. But it's not like the Middle East, the Far East. Everything is Eurocentric.
They've got maintenance and repairs, which if you want to fix your bike.
Have you ever a flat tire that you fixed on a bike?
Yeah, I fixed a flat tire. You patched a flat tire.
That's what I'm saying.
Bicycle patch kits. Yeah, you fill it up, you put it underwater to see where the bubbles come up.
That's what you're told, but I always found doing that's bad because then you end up with water in the tire.
Oh, you have to let it dry out. Yeah, you have to leave it to set for ages anyway. It's not like you just put a patch on and just go. You usually had to leave it overnight or something for the patch to dry.
I spent a lot of my youth patching bicycle tires. I grew up on a farm where tires just break. Literally, you get about an hour's use and then you've destroyed it because you jump off things onto sharp rocks.
And they're using bicycles to stop crowding.
Like on roads.
Yeah, I think it's the traffic.
Ironically, still take the bicycles on the road, slowing the traffic down even more.
Look at that, the...
Oh, men in Uganda using a bicycle to transport bananas. That is dedication. I like that you can see the bananas are just off the ground. Like, there's one that is literally, like, behind the front wheel. I think it's not touching the ground, but...
Only just.
That's the one you don't want to eat.
That's like a 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Join the musical, man. I'm glad you're coming to my side. That's a lot of bananas. And like, it makes me think that like, that's their job. That's clearly what they do. Like every day, they just pack up a bicycle with bananas and walk along the side of the road. Invest in some assets, man. Get a truck.
You know, in that song, though, yep. They like, come on, I want to go home. There's like a line in there where it's like, hide the deadly black tarantula.
What?
It's like they're picking bananas and they're like, there's a deadly black tarantula. It's like, man, just hide it. Put it under a couple other bananas and we'll just sell it anyway.
It doesn't matter. Put it in there. I'm not going to deal with it.
Fuck you. You see, daylight came. I want to come home.
Ayo. With spiders.
It's okay. Ooh. Spiders come sell your bananas.
Song's going to be stuck in my head for the next week now.
I think we'll do the next podcast on it. Ayo. Look at that picture. That's a woman getting on a bike. Let go, but stand by.
She's learning how to ride a bike, but she looks like 60.
The tires look flat.
It's two old ladies. Yeah, that back tire is really flat.
You notice she's heavier than she let on.
Are you sure you only weigh 30 kilos?
Economic implications, like people, like companies and stuff.
Poor countries love bikes, essentially.
They really do. The bike, I've noticed this from, there's been a couple of pictures already, and you do see this around the world, where you go to third world countries, the amount of crap people can fit on a bike, you wouldn't think it was possible. Like that bananas, and there's another guy with, what is that, a mat?
Like, yeah, like straw or some shit like that, or yeah. Some straw mat.
Some huge, like, that'd cover an entire floor, and just chuck it on your bike and wheel your bike.
Then they've got here, like, how many bikes a are produced first sold. It only goes up to 2014, where 11,939 bikes were made, but they sold 20,000.
Yeah, all the sales are more than the production, which I'm guessing, does that include used bikes?
That says 11 million. Oh, million, yeah.
Every year, more are sold than made.
But in like 1999, they really crammed out a fuck ton of bikes.
Or they just didn't sell any. They had a really bad year and they've got this stockpile. It's the same with cars, actually. Well, it's the exact reverse with cars. They produce way more than get sold. There's like airfields and stuff filled with cars around the world.
This is just Europe. I thought it was going to have like the worldwide.
I think we only have information on Europe.
Italy does the most bikes, though.
Oh, really?
And then Germany, Poland.
I did not see
Bulgaria,
Germany.
Netherlands.
I think the Netherlands thing is just because it's a smaller population. What? Zero in Croatia.
Where's Amsterdam? That's in
the Netherlands.
Poland, Netherlands.
Which is
so Netherlands. That's number four. Yeah, oh, no, five. After Bulgaria.
Bulgaria. Bulgaria likes their bikes, apparently.
How about this one? Malta. They don't make any bikes. Almost. Neither does Denmark.
Yeah, from Croatia, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia.
Ireland doesn't make bikes. I thought Ireland would make bikes.
Yeah,
they buy bikes, but they don't make any.
Latvia and Luxembourg.
And theft of bikes.
Here we go. Around 50% of the participants in the Montreal International Journal of Sustainable Transportation Survey were subjected to a bicycle theft in their lifetime.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's in your lifetime.
In other words, half of the people in French Canada have seen someone steal a bike.
Like, you've had stuff stolen of you at one point in your life.
I have. I've had my car broken into, but all they took was CDs and some really cheap sunglasses.
Yeah, me too.
The biggest problem I had was that they broke the quarter panel and I had to get it replaced.
Is that like the bit at the back behind where you wind the window?
No, the bit at the front of the door window. It was actually really nice of them. It was a ute, so you have the little triangle next to you. Yeah, it was actually
happening. They broke the triangle.
Yeah.
That same thing happened with my car, and I remember thinking, well, that's considerate, because if they had done the one that I had to wind, that would have cost me like three times as much. And by smashing that, they would have had to reach further to grab it. It would have been easier for them to smash that one, but they were kind of like, look, we're breaking into this dude's car. The least we could do is break the cheapest window to fix. Let's reach a little bit extra. We go to extra effort. That's what we do.
You reckon it was the same guy?
I don't know. Did you admit, like, it seemed a little too courteous for somebody who was breaking into my car.
Or is this like, what do they call it? Honor amongst thieves? Where like, it's just like, look, if you're going to steal stuff out of cars, you break into the quarter panel, all right? That's just how we do it. Be nice. I had a friend who had his car broken into, came back to his car, found it, like the window was smashed, looked in there, the CDs, wallet was gone. And then he looked up and on the path going up around the corner, there was this trail of CDs. The person had broken into his car, taken the CDs. And as they're walking away, they're like, oh, that's crap. That's crap. I don't want that.
That's funny.
Not only did they steal, but they insulted. Insult to injury.
And they have the world's longest bicycle, which was made in South Australia. And it measures 41.42 meters.
135 feet. That's just unnecessary.
Let's see, because they don't have any picture of that.
Why wouldn't you put the picture?
There we go.
Is that the one? That's Guinness World Records. It doesn't say where it is, does it? That just doesn't look like Australia.
Either way, this is the long bike.
The longest. Wikipedia might need some updating. Yeah,
there's a lot of long bikes.
Apparently, more than one person's tried to do this.
What's the point of
that? Oh, that's a motorbike.
This one.
You can see a couple of them are motorbikes.
Well, this might be the one.
And this is one of those, it's just a record thing. I don't think there's any point to it. Indonesian villagers build world's longest bike. Everyone's built one.
You only have the world's longest bike for like 2 minutes before somebody
buys that bike off you and then puts an extra wheel on it.
Yeah, that's it. No, it's done.
Your turn.
So what did you think of this page?
I really liked it. That got what it deserved. I thought it was all right. Yeah, like I can't get past the flying pigeon.
The flying pigeon at the top here.
Yeah, I think they've discovered the best name for anything ever. And no, I think that might be the reason it sold so well. I want a flying pigeon.
Just the name alone. It's like flying pigeon.
You ever rode a flying pigeon?
You haven't ridden a bike till you've ridden a flying pigeon. I wonder if they'll sell any more based on this podcast. People going out going like, look at this flying pigeon. It's the best bike ever.
They've made $500 million. I think they've sold enough. I don't think any further sales can be attributed to us.
I know they're still going to get up to that 1 billion and then they can stop bragging.
Then they can stop counting. I thought it was a pretty good website. I learned a lot about bicycles. I'm not a big avid bicycle person, not since I was like 12. So I thought it was good. So Ben, what did you think of this week's episode?
I really liked this page. It was okay. I mean, halfway down, it sort of gets into a lot of the technical aspects of the bike, which, that's a little boring. I mean, the flying pigeon is probably the take-home piece of trivia from this episode. It's kind of like you think that bikes would be more interesting, but no, they're not. They're pretty plain. They're pretty basic.
Turns out we did know everything already.
So they made the first chained bike in 1885. So out of 1,885, I would probably give this
1,002.
Okay.
So it's okay, but not great. I mean, you know I tend to go on the higher end of the scale.
You do.
A page has to suck really bad for me to...
You're really saving that room, because there's going to be a lot of really bad ones. And we need to be able to distinguish which one is worse. Good system, good concept.
How about yourself? What did you think of this page?
I thought just the same as you. It's kind of... Yeah, it's bicycles. You knew what you're going to expect. But there were some fun little trivias. We got to see some weird bikes, which I like. The long bike, the tall bike.
The classic bicycle sound, though.
I like it.
That was good.
That was good, because at first you hear it, and then he starts, like, really getting into it. It's like when you go to, like, a jazz club, and, like, someone sort of plays a note, and you're like, oh, that's nice. And then they start ripping into it.
Freeform bicycle.
Freeform. Just scatting a bike out. Scatting on the bell. I would say out of a possible scratching post, I'd give this a June bug, which is pretty much the same as yours, right down the middle. I can give worse ratings than that, but it holds its own. It's worth a look at, but it's not the best we've ever seen.
No, it's not. We've done better, we've done worse.
It's like a Simpsons episode from, like, season 5 that you've seen a million times. You know what's going to happen, but if you've got nothing better to do, yeah, I'd watch it. I'll still laugh.
See, I am generally happy to criticize this Wikipedia page, mostly because it was your choice. Next week's going to be awesome and I'll hear nothing otherwise.
Next week we'll return to our usual little scheduled program of me telling you how crap it is. You're right. I didn't realize that, but I've been defending this page the whole time.
You get defensive when you're the one who picks the page, eh? You're just kind of like, no, I don't want to have picked a dud.
Don't you criticize. That's my mate. I picked that. It's like if you went to a pet store, picked a dog, and I was like, well, why'd you get that one? Hey, this is the good one. This is my friend. He's my best friend.
Anyway, we might wrap it up there for this week. I've been Ben Graw.
I'd just like to say, we didn't even mention Queen during the whole episode.
Oh, we didn't.
Which...
They do want to ride their bicycle.
Bicycle! Well, now I've mentioned it, we can end now.
I can wrap up the episode now?
Now you can. We had to get that out. I think
just
our listeners...
Just one last mention. You just leave the house afterwards going, damn it, we didn't mention Queen.
Exactly. I would have had to come back here. And, like, I don't want to leave the listeners out. I bet they were sitting there the whole time like, come on, Queen! Fat bottom girls, get on your bikes and ride! What's going on? You talked about sex, but you talked about sex on bikes.
See, I was thinking of that, yeah, that song just before you came over. Like, while I was setting up, I was just sort of singing it to myself.
Bicycle, bicycle. You see, if you've ever heard the song, then whenever you hear the word bicycle, sing a song to do with bicycles. Bicycle. Yeah, okay, there you go. That's automatically what happens.
All right, that's been it for this week. I've been Ben Graw.
I've been Garth Remington.
And unless Garth plans on stopping me again, that's been it for Wikipedia Review this week.
When you're done, Ben.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening, guys.
See ya.
Email us at wikireviewpodcast@gmail.com. Theme is I Live for the Bass Drum, provided by our buddy DJ Searle. All other music by Matt Graw.
Yeah.